Welcome to the Gravity Well podcast with Alex and Jenny. Here, you break down heavy ideas with us to understand their complexities and connections. Our mission is to work through your dilemmas with you, in conversation and process, making our world a better place for all.
We acknowledge that we live on the traditional territories of Treaties 4, 6, 7, 8, and 10, the ancestral homelands of diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples, whose ancestors have walked this land since time immemorial, and whose histories, languages, and cultures continue to influence our vibrant communities. We pay respect to Indigenous people through our ethical relationship-building efforts. Our community agreement asks for genuine conversations, real hearts, open minds, and different perspectives. In conflict, let's rely on our 6W system and live participant feedback. What matters most is finding common ground.
We dedicate this podcast to our children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, and all future generations. The Gravity Well is on YouTube and streaming wherever you get your podcasts. Join us at thegravitywell.net.
Welcome. Happy New Year, if I can say that, in February. I'm so grateful to have the Mountain Child Valley Society with me today. I'll let everybody do a proper introduction in a second here. This is our first episode of the year. We've been busy since November. These ladies especially have been on in the courtroom, on the streets, helping organize our communities in Southern Alberta with respect to coal and water safety, quality, and security. It's been a lot happening that's been thrown at us. So we're going to take some time to dissect what it is, what the problem is, what we've been dealing with. And then we'll get into some ideas around what comes next, what we're doing together from this work. So I'm just going to quickly introduce myself for you guys completely. So I'm Jenny Yeremy. I am a geophysicist by background, and I worked in the oil and gas industry for 22 years. I started in development, so I was drilling oil and gas wells, and then started looking at liability, so the cleanup of oil and gas sites. And I will say in 2020, I was really proud to have the opportunity to work with the money that was injected into the industry to address the abandonment and reclamation work in the province. And actually, as it turns out, I was a lobbyist for Indigenous-led closure work in the province. So I'm really proud to say that. In fact, in all three provinces, that was something I was advocating for. So with that understanding, here I am doing this podcast, trying to make sure that people understand the issues that we have on the landscape and who are the faces of this, of the battles that we're having to try and make sure that we preserve our water and our biodiversity and our communities. So I'm going to stop there. Nicole, you're first on my screen. If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, please. And we'll go from there.
Okay. Damak Sknatuni, Nistu Ananok, Apaki, Pigani, Diduktutu. Hello, my name is Weasel Woman. My English name is Nicole Johnston. I am from the Pagan Reserve, Pagan Nation, located that's east of Pincha Creek. I am Indigenous advocate. I do some work, started doing work up here in Calgary regarding issues that dealt with the Indigenous people here in the city. And I started doing that work all on my own, whereas if I seen, you know, something regarding our issues, I went directly to the main source to have it dealt with. That's the kind of work I started doing on my own, plus the school part of it, seeing what was happening back home and the work that I did. I just put it together and started moving forward to inform as many people as we can about this issue, because not a lot of people I knew about it. So I knew we had to get the word out there, and I started helping in that way with the events we put up and the walks we had across Pincha Creek, Fort McLeod, Lethbridge, and just info sessions. So that's what I'm doing now. And still I got a lot of focus on about three big issues right now. So that's my plate's full.
Yes. Aren't ours all? Absolutely. Thank you for all the work you do, Nicole, and we'll get into that a bit more. Edna, do you mind going next, please?
Good afternoon and Happy New Year. And I'm really glad we're the first ones of the year to be on your podcast. I'm really glad that we met on that first rally My name is Edna Fairbrother, Little Mustache. My first name is Sitokitapiaki, Central Pole Woman. I became involved in the Grassy Mountain way back in 2015. I was doing a lot of the research for Mountain Child Valley Society, but I wasn't a member per se, but I was a member per se. Also, during this time here, I would like to share some history in regards to this. I know the young ladies here have some information, really valuable information to share of what we've been doing. We've been, not to take up too much time, but we've been handing out, and Inez and I have been handing out information packages, and we've been going to home and talking with people, and we're really well received. Mind you, we're on a meager budget. It means no budget. We do what we can. We're informing people, our family, that as well. We also took the information from our chief and council responses, highlighted some important points in the responses. We also included our letter from MCVS in response to these AER documents that were being read out loud by our nation. We also have been talking to other people and in the community and here and just spreading the word and just making them known of what is in the letter, to take the time to read it, give them the information and take the time to read it. I know it's quite lengthy of a document, like the 6-page letter, and it's kind of it's hard to read. So, but we are helping them along, and we just take out important points. We're just basically informing our people and trying to get our survey pushed out for as much information as we can of the lack thereof, the information that's coming from the community, because we know we don't have that community consultation. And, you know, I can go further and further, but I'll give Inez a time and opportunity to introduce herself. And it's good to see you guys. Good to see you, Nicole.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Edna. Yes, Inez, please go next.
Hi, my name is Winona Inez Smith. I'm from Bigari Nation and a recent graduate of the University of Lethbridge. I've been a part of the Mountain Valley Child Society since 2021. That's when the group first was formed.
Do you mind offering, what did you study at the University of Lethbridge?
I studied psychology and minored in Indigenous business management.
Excellent. Right on. Thank you so much. So yes, I had the opportunity to listen to some of what you both offered, Nicole and Edna, during the first hearing in Pincher Creek. So let's, if you don't mind, I'm just going to back up a bit and let everybody know what's happened here. So, and you're welcome to correct me where I err. But we had at the beginning of December, there was a public hearing that was made available for the public in Pincher Creek. It was open to anyone who was willing to speak for or against the project, and it was limited to the Grassy Mountain project at that time. And so both Nicole and Edna offered some comments there. So Edna, do you mind offering just some of the comments that you provided the Alberta Energy Regulator in December on behalf of the Piikani Nation?
Okay, thank you. We did attend, and I didn't anticipate on speaking, but when a lady came up to me and asked me if I wanted to speak, and then once she did, I realized that there was no opposition from the nation in attendance, except for Inez and I, Nicole, and a few others. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to speak, because times like the history, like I said, this goes back to the history. We're not consulted properly. All the information stays within the managerial level, chief and council, managerial level, employee level, but it doesn't come trickle down to us. And so that's what I wanted to get across to them, and not being made aware of this in our giving us the opportunity to speak, and having a non-native lady, our lawyer try and silence us, you know, it was really infuriating. And I was kind of glad she did that, because it just showed the world as to how we're suppressed and oppressed, and not having our say as the opposition. Like for every action, there's an opposite reaction, you know. Simple.
That's right.
It's just plain and simple. So having being the opposition, we have to educate the leadership as to the what ifs, You know, the what ifs are the big thing. So that was our goal, is and to try and make them understand our side, that we're opposed to it because we're not consulted properly. We could have been prepared to show the AER, the whoever was watching, the state of our community. And anytime we're consulted, we're not properly consulted. You know, there's times, like, I'm going to talk history here, to change our voting, to change our electoral, all it was somebody coming around asking a question. Do you agree? Do you not agree? Well, they took it and ran with that. And all it was a questionnaire when it was supposed to be a referendum. And in our community, democracy doesn't work in our community. You know, it does not work. People look and say, yeah, you guys get everything for free. We don't get nothing for free. If I was to be so, you know, like right now, I'm stuck. We all have our personal stories, you know. And for the whole chief and council to speak for every member, I personally believe, and I strongly believe, that they must go to every home and to see where they're coming from. Why are they against it? And history has proven that we just get steamrolled every time. The dam, for instance, in my lifetime, how many times have they imposed these things upon us? The dam, we were against the dam because of the changing of the waters. And lo and behold, now we suffer the consequences of that decision. The $64 million deal that we had back in the day, we were battled on four fronts, every corner, north, east, west, and south. And it's for, you know, we call them our four corners. We had our own local government. We had the Alberta government. We had the federal government. And we had the community that was for it. So we were the opposition and the ones lobbying against it were battled on four fronts. At every direction, we had to battle because we were getting sold out. We had 9 land claims in that claim that there was no money dollar affixed to those. And trying to educate the community on that, saying, how are you settling something that does not have a dollar on it? We need to have that. And now, again, they told us in that deal, Bigani's going to be better off. Bigani's going to have this. But now we're suffering the consequences of that again. The people that are in opposition, the people that don't know, the people that don't fully understand and are not consulted with the truth. You could be consulted, but not with the truth and the facts and the whole truth. But we are the ones that suffer those consequences. The children, the unborn children are suffering those consequences because it seems like services are getting cut here and there, left and right. And our unborn children are coming into this world with a debt, which is unfair because we're supposed to be protecting their path when they're born. So that's the history of that. And in all of this, the words that I said there was, we're not given these opportunities. You know, had we had proper consultation, this day and age, our voices are finally being heard. Back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s, when we were battling those, our voices were still really low, muffled. Our people were just coming out of residential schools. So they were conditioned not to speak out. But we're not part of, you know, we're survivors of that. We're trying to stop that intergenerational trauma. And now it seems like our new Indian agents is our own chief and council. Their fiduciary responsibility is falling to the wayside because all their people are the ones that they look after are their own relatives. And I could speak further to that with the policies that we have in our nation. And I've become a very cynic and a skeptic to our own policies because they're not for everyone. They protect only the ones in power. And I mean power. That's a bad word to say. But the ones in managerial positions, the ones in leadership, those are the ones that are protected. Those are the ones that get everything. There's other nations that are watching us fight this battle. And they say that our poor children are always being used. And back to history, going back to the $64 million settlement, our high school students were used. 18-year-olds were used. And in our electoral system, we can only vote when we're 21. Once they promised these 18-year-olds a lap of luxury after this, they were going to get their distro. Yeah, they got a distro. But they basically enticed them to sign on that dotted line and vote a yes. The first round was a no. We said no, we didn't want that $64 million because there was no dollar affixed to those nine cases. And sadly, they changed our name, included the 18-year-olds. And that's why we're Begani now. We used to be called Pagan. So we're Begani now because of that deal. And I still have document. I still have the document here. And this is the document that I've had. And back in the day, there was a lobbyist group against this. There was a strong opposition to that deal. And now, like I say, democracy doesn't work. History is repeating itself and including our children as the only children along highway. I mean, the Old Man River, Crow's Nest Pass, St. Mike's, Pincher Creek Schools, Fort McLeod Schools. None of those schools brought their children to the Grassy Mountain open pit site, but our children did. Clearly an exploitation, clearly, and using them as numbers. And you know, back there, I thought we got rid of tokenism. You know, our children aren't tokens for the elevation of somebody, because that's who we're fighting for, is our future generations. Our future generations, the water, the ones that are not at the table, the eagles, the deer, the elk, the moose, the fish, the birds, the berries, the trees, the shrubs, the trees, the cottonwoods. The cottonwoods is what we need for our sun dances, our ceremonies. And if the river is poisoned, those trees are not going to grow. And if they have the foresight to think of that, then, you know, more power to them. Because then if they have that, then they can see, okay, well, yeah, history is reporting itself. A big conglomerate is coming in. So now we're fighting three on every facet, a conglomerate, a foreign government, our own federal government, provincial government, our own local government, and the community out there that is for it. You know, we go into the community and we get looked, stared down, but, you know, we still smile and wave and still have that respect for them. But these guys don't understand. And if I could have spoke more and longer and have been more prepared, then this would have all came out, you know. Right. And trying to be silenced is what irked me, because this lady does not speak for everyone. She's not come into my house. She's not one shook my hand or Inez's hands or Nicole's hands. That's the first time my old eyes laid eyes on her. I didn't know who she was.
I'd like to clarify for people, because I know what you're speaking to. So at the hearing, there were people that had put their names forward in advance, but to your point, they were aware of the process and you know, had been, you know, had submitted their presentations early on. Maybe Nicole, I can flip it back to you and you can speak a little bit about what happened and offer your thoughts about what was said that day, the first hearing day.
Okay. When we spoke at the AER in Pincher Creek,
And feel free to speak more about what's happened since. But yes, Edna was explaining that you weren't given, initially you weren't given the opportunity to speak, and there was some back and forth discussion amongst the AER panel and the lawyer for the Piikani Nation that prevented you from speaking initially. Yeah, I just wanted you to expand on that, and then feel free to say whatever you wanted to add, and then I'll go back to you, Inez.
For me, it was expected for them to, you know, stand up and object to us speaking. But what got me was when the lawyer did stand up and speak and stating how, you know, we should be speaking or what we should be speaking about, and we couldn't speak on the nation members, or telling us basically we just couldn't speak. I was really, you know, thankful for the other, for Inez and Edna, for getting up to speak and speaking on what they, you know, what they put out there, so that others would know that our people are, they don't know what's happening. I guess a lot has not known what has happened up to this point. Some don't even realize how far back it went, and were shocked to hear when I said it went back as far as 2013. Mm-hmm. That how could they not hear from 2013 till now about everything that's happening now and being brought out? You know, we let her know, we let the lawyer there know that she does not speak for us as the Piikani Nation members. And I also, you know, when I got up to speak, I'm going to say that I wrote out the beginning of my speech was the introduction. But as I got to the end of it, it came directly from myself. and it came from what I was wanting to speak on. And so I let them understand that, trying to put it in nicer words, but you know, that they don't speak for us. And the AER, like everything I was putting together, I wanted them to know that it's a no-go for Piikani because of the fact that the members are the ones that do hold that power over our chief and council. Whether they like it or not, we do. We hold that czar power. We put them there, and they were going against us regarding this coal mining and not properly informing the people, not doing any referendums, not having any info sessions on it. Nothing was said on this. So it was a shock to most members when we started bringing this coal mining out. There was, even back in the first time MVS started, not a lot of people knew at that time too. You know, I barely caught on, but I jumped on to the group there when they first started and was listening on, and myself too, trying to figure out what was happening. It was, you know, it was news to me when I first heard. You know, being more focused on the work that I do up here, I started focusing more back at what's going on back home. Did not like it. And I thought, no, I can do more. I can help out more. I can, you know, offer what I can, and started offering to do these events, these walks, these info sessions, putting the word out there, helping to spread, you know, things such as that pamphlet there you were holding, what the other ladies were doing. Yeah. And then their information packages going out and trying to speak out at our band meeting, which was a fun thing to do, but
yes. And you filmed live. Yeah. I just want to walk through a couple of the things that, if you don't mind, attended the hearing, spoke there, and then continued on the ground as there was threats of a potential referendum happening right away, staying in contact with chief and council and putting out for the public what were you hearing and how what the responses from the nation members as you spoke about it. Nicole, you went on to help organize three. There we go. I'm going to have to get a copy of that, ladies, and I can share it with this, this, and we can highlight some of the keynotes. But let me pause there. Inez, can you offer a little bit of your thoughts on this, and then we'll circle back around with some more. Thank you.
Sure. So I spoke at the first AER meeting. I knew it was going on. I didn't know that there was a process to talk, to register, and even to be there. I registered for tickets, but I didn't know there was a whole other process to it. And they don't advertise that. They don't talk about the process and are open to Albertans about that. And so I went on the second day, not knowing, but wanting to speak. And so I was prepared with a speech. And in my studies, I've learned that in Indigenous negotiations, you have to put a chair aside for the animals, for whoever you're speaking on, if they're not there. Put a chair aside for the water, the animals, plants, buffalo, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it known that they're there, they're present, they're alive, they have spirits. And nobody was speaking about the animals, the water. Nobody was speaking on it. And so as a youth, I really felt that it was my duty to do that. And especially being raised from my grandpa, Nick Smith, he was a traditional Blackfoot elder. And he really talked about the mountains a lot, and he was worried about them as well. And he taught me a lot. So I knew I had to speak on the mountains, on the animals. And so I went there knowing that this was going to be my speech. This was what I was going to tell them, that who they're forgetting. You know, these things are alive, the animals, the water, they're alive, and they need to be represented efficiently. And so I went there and I told them, like, I'm speaking on these people. I'm speaking on the children that aren't aware of this. I'm speaking for the elders that are not aware of this. My mom didn't even know about it. And she didn't know why I was coming for a couple of days, staying at her house, and that I had business to do in Pincher Creek. And so, like, she didn't know anything about it. And I told her, well, don't worry about it, Mom. I'm going to go speak on it for our family. So incredible. We went. And I also had to represent everyone else who didn't know about it. And I also told them basically that what they're doing is environmental terrorism. It's economic terrorism upon us, upon the First Nations, upon this land, upon the water, animals. And they needed to be told, like, this is, that's basically what it is. And it's a big thing that they're going to be doing to us. And
Thank you. Yeah. I want to reflect a little bit of what you guys are saying in my words, and then please correct me. So when what I learned when I was doing this land stewardship work within the industry is, for one, 80% of the critical habitats that are in Canada are on Indigenous territories, are Indigenous lands. So disproportionately, your communities represent critical habitats, right? The biodiversity, all of these things that help our ecosystem function. So all the hurt that you're describing over the years is us allowing this hurt to happen on the landscape and not paying attention. When you talk about corruption, I just want to talk about a little bit how you're talking about this, how the top is making decisions without us. You know, the coal mining, I can tell you, I door knocked during the election. Everybody said they've promised the government, the, you know, the existing government looking to re-elect the UCP has promised that they won't reopen the coal mining in the Eastern Slopes. You know, people allowed that on the promise of that. That's why they got elected. I can tell you that was something I heard a lot at the doors. People wanted that reassurance. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Inez, that it is terrorism. They're making decisions against what we want as a people. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that because I'm not suggesting that, you know, I've suffered more or anything in this. I'm saying I've seen the tip of the iceberg. You guys have been experiencing this for generations, as you say. Anyway, so I just wanted to reframe that. I hope that, because I want people to understand that this isn't something that doesn't impact all communities. It impacts every community in Canada to let Indigenous communities be exploited in this way, let's say. So yeah. is that fair? Is that a fair assessment of what's been happening?
Yes. You know, and Grassy Mountain's in our backyard. Hence our involvement. And it's really moving to see all these, I'll say, cultures come together. For so long, it's been us and them. You know, we battled, and sometimes we didn't get along with the next neighboring community. But now we're all fighting the same battle. We're going up the same beast, you know, fighting the same Goliath. We're all the little Davids now. But it's in our backyard. For us, we've always thought of everybody else in all our trainings. We always think forward, you know, not all of us have this ability, but we have to think of those generations. And our grandfathers, Nicole's grandfather was a spiritual man as well. Our grandfather, traditional men, always told us to respect those and to think of the future generations. And our battle is to do that, to secure that land for our future generations. And it really moves me to see everybody moving in the same direction, because, you know, we're starting at one end and we're slowly moving across the country. We're following the river, the flow of the river. And because all of those towns and streams and town, you know, everything is going to be poisoned if that headwater is poisoned, you know. And something that someone mentioned in the group chat we had was, well, what about Frank Slide? You know, Frank Slide, we know the stories of Frank Slide. You know, the three of us, we live right here. I could see it if I look out my window. It's going to fall. You know, little vibration to a big slab of mountain like that. It's, you know, I don't mean to be fear-mongering, but they got to think of that consequence. Start thinking, okay, what if? The what ifs again. What ifs? Let's base our outcomes on three of those decisions. You know, let's do something, cost the most to do something, fight against it, or do nothing and just sit and wait. But there's a happy medium where they just go away. It's my dream. Just for them to go away and leave us alone. Because that's our backyard. And, you know, days I get tired. I get tired and I wake up and I'm even dreaming of this, dreaming of this fight, and I wake up in a somber mood because it's sad of what they're doing, not recognizing what Nicole and what Inez are saying is we have to protect the land, everything connected to the land, because all our fight is all connected.
100%. And I'll flip it back to you, Nicole, and we'll go to Inez. But I see to your point, Edna, I would be thrilled if we weren't developing any fossil fuels anymore, if we were stopping any further gravel mining. To me, this is the place where we're at. Quite honestly, that's the stop. We need to stop moving in this direction and start being okay with what we already have taken from the earth and each other, for that matter. Nicole, do you mind reflecting some thoughts?
Just, I'm more for sharing info so people can see the reality of this, which is where I like to keep that focus, where people are understanding what's really happening here. Because we do have a lot of people that are standing up and saying, oh yeah, we're going to get jobs. We need jobs. We need, this economic. And just to quickly share with you, I ran for chief this past term. And one of my goals was to start growing hemp. And instead of growing hemp, we're fighting off a coal mine that's going to destroy the environment. So that for me is really heartbreaking. We could have been, 2 years in, but no, we're instead fighting this. So I'm, going to push forward and stand with everybody to fight this. And so when people are talking about jobs, they need to fully understand how this works. Harley Bastien, who was one of the speakers at our events, talked about this as he... it would have been nice to have him here too to speak on this, but he has a lot of experience in going to China and seeing what those coal companies can do to the land. So when they were having their open house in Brockett there for the month of October, there's a piece of paper there where it shows they're just going to say this much of the land. But then around it, there's another circle. A red circle. And my friend was asking, okay, well, what does that one mean? Well, that's in case they need to go more and more and more. So it's gonna grow. It's not gonna be this little size. So this is what I talk about when we have to do our research and we gotta get to every little detail of what's happening with that something like with the coal mine. So I don't know if our chief and council understand that it's going to grow and it's going to grow and they're just going to keep taking the amount of water that's going to be needed for that. The selenium levels that are, there was an event they had in Nanton where a friend of ours shared with us that it was stated there, we're like this with the selenium and the Old Man River now. We're just at that tipping point of having that overload of selenium. So that made me really think and be nervous about this now with our water, the Old Man River, the people's drinking water. One example I like to use is when they say you can't eat more than 4 bazillion nuts or else you have an overload of selenium. Well, I know people will get that. So I like to use that example a lot. Again, going back to the jobs, just to say, the first and second phase of that coal mining is going to be maybe a year. And then after that, for the next 23 to 24 years, it's going to be their employees, their technicians and engineers and everybody else. It's going to be their employers that will be working for the rest of those 23 to 24 years. So they're just pulling the wool over our people's eyes that we're going to get, all these jobs for this amount of time, and that's not the truth. So they need, again, you got to look at every little thing of what it is they're offering. It's really, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense when you start putting the pieces together in this issue, and it does not make sense, but it's going to, I'm going to say, destroy Southern Alberta, and it's going to go more down east, which I'm sure people now, like our neighbors, Standoff, they're waking up and they're now being told of what's happening. They're now going to start coming out and speaking on their part of it, as there's going to be an interview today on it. So they're coming out. They're going to be speaking more out about it. And it's, you know, with Danielle Smith and conservatives and our chief in council, you know, being with in business with this lady, Gina Reinhart, from this coal company, who owns this company, who is pushing. That's, to put it into terms of, I don't understand how the conservatives and our chief and council are basically helping a foreign company to come into our, you know, our space to get billions of dollars rich and leaving us with disaster and no drinking water. How does 100%. I don't get that, putting it in that kind of perspective. It does not make sense. So
not at all. Yeah, I want to highlight some of the things that were said in the Calgary hearing, and then we can talk about what comes next. Because you're right, Edna, I love that you said that we're, and Inez, I'll let you lead off this one when I'm done speaking. Edna, I love how you said that we're the Davids against our Goliaths here. This is, as you said, Nicole, foreign interests in our province. This will devastate everyone downstream. It's estimated 2 million people are impacted by Grassi alone. Now what's happened is during the Grassi hearing, so in January, we had a follow-up hearing in Calgary that was limited to the proponents, so the direct and impacted participants. So we had people speaking for the Piikani Nation, not the members. We had people speaking for the coal mining company, and Stoney Nakoda Nation spoke for the project. But it was very important to note and mention that the rationale for the two nations was to ultimately get to restoration, get to that point where we're actually cleaning up the land. So I want to make sure that that's noted. They were okay with the exploration, to your point, Nicole, likely because this is the jobs that are actually being promised and not necessarily anything that would be promised afterwards. But so the experts that spoke there, Lauren Fitch and Bill Trafford, both spoke about the fact that, well, first of all, Northback offered no new data. So to me, this is a very important thing that is noted now in record for any Albertan or anybody to see that in 2022, these projects were canceled, all of them, no Eastern Slopes mining of coal. And the rationale was it's not economic and it'll devastate all of our other economies and drinking water of anybody. And Northback had no new data to offer. So even though our government suggested that there was going to be some miraculous change in coal mining that was not going to impact the environment, Northback reassured us that there is no new method here. There's nothing new that they're going to do, and that there's no new data to suggest that what was found in the outcome of that hearing in 2022 is different. Therefore, there's no economic story here and only devastation.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I just wanted to frame that for everyone. And I did want to say that Lauren Fitch said that any activity, so let's be clear, not even coal mining, any activity with trucks or with roads or anything is going to cause devastation to our existing or our already troubled ecosystems. So we have a reduction in salmon in our headwaters, or various trout, I should say. And those are, they will be impacted. So the answer is no activity in the Eastern Slopes, not just coal mining. I just want to be clear on that. So you're bang on there, Edna. Okay, Inez, I think I rounded that out, I hope. If you wouldn't start talking about what comes next for us, please go ahead.
Well, Mr. Fitch really did a good presentation, and we want to try bring that information to the community members. So we already started gathering his information and creating a booklet for our members. And we will distribute that upon request. And I guess that's our next information session, is the environmental impacts, because it's already widely known. But to actually see tangible information will probably help our members be more knowledgeable in their decision about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything more you wanted to offer from the other stuff? I'm sorry if I'm rushing you along at all.
I did want to say that our Piikani members are a little bit confused regarding their decision about the coal mining, because what our Chief Choi is saying, he is stating that if we, Piikani Nation, do not go with the coal mining, then all the benefits will go to Stoney Nakoda Nation, which is not true. Because in the AER hearing, Stoney Nakoda stated that if North Pack doesn't get this application approved, then they have no benefits. They have no agreement with North Pack. So all the land claims on that grassy mountain is null and void. It's not happening. And there's two separate claims. There's the Piikani Nation versus Stoney Nakoda claim, land claims. And then there's this coal mining. And so he's trying to put the two together, give us an ultimatum and say, if, you know, this goes ahead and Stoney Nakoda gets all the benefits, we get nothing, which is not true. He needs to tell the members the truth, separate it, the facts, and give them the facts straight. And so if the permit doesn't go through, then all the best to us. That's a fight that is won, but it doesn't impact the other court case that is in the federal courts right now. So I just wanted to make that clear. That's where members are confused about. They need to not be confused.
Yes, excellent point. There is an appeal with the federal court right now that is supposed to be heard in the next couple months on this. It should be, again, dismissing this project once again, which was done in 2022. Yep. Now, that being said, the provincial government has undermined this process. So if I may ask, and this is potentially putting you on the spot a little bit, but we're now thinking with respect to the federal, or sorry, the provincial government suggesting that they've lifted the coal moratorium again and things are open, we're anticipating to see applications within a number of areas within the Eastern Slopes now. And so one of my thoughts in terms of our work together is to make sure that we're alerting any neighboring communities as to these applications that could potentially show up with the AER, so that we can be ready to make those statement of concerns and ensure that we have members, community members, that are actually have standing. They're close enough to those projects that they can fight them. Because we know the limits, like you were describing, all of you, how the AER doesn't tell us, you know, they don't make it easy for us to know these things. So we have to do the work for them, which is a lot of time and energy. So we have a group, the Chinook Watershed Alliance, which is includes you folks, and we're now trying to work together to make sure that we can have a plan of attack there. Early stages, obviously, but I just wanted to say from my perspective, that's how I'm anticipating us working together. But so Edna, did you want to offer some thoughts about going forward, what you need from us, what ways people can help, what you see doing working forward with your communities?
What I wanted to mention in further into our information pamphlets and just disseminating this information within the community and making the community understand what the words are actually spoken and written via the chief and our leadership in regards to the, like, back to the what ifs, suffer the consequences of what's going to come. Those two questions asked at the end of the hearing were asked by every special interest group. And our chief wasn't there to be answering those questions because there was something more important that day. So our CEO, COO, read his 6-page letter and he couldn't answer those questions. So now after that, we got the exhibit. It's 128 for anyone interested in that exhibit. It's 128. And it asks two questions. What if it goes through? What if we approve it? What are some conditions that you would want from North Back? All the while, leadership has been talking about economics, 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 economics. Economics is the people, is the resources, is our land. That's economics. But he's failing to mention economics in his responses for any conditions if it does go through. And for me, I got to keep my voice in check because when I get, my blood starts boiling, it gets really high. So just bear with me. So in the conditions that he asked for, to me, it's data. Just so he can continue to hold that data and go drill another hole in the mountain. So that doesn't, it's not comforting me in any way. He also states to test the waters. Well, that's going to be reinventing the wheel, because in the $64 million, we train people in the FEIA. We train individuals to do those jobs. I still have all their names. I know the company that did it, but they've been sadly been overtaken anyway. That testing the waters, that's something we can't reinvent the wheel. That's just throwing money away. Another thing was a air quality station. We as a community did not know that there's already one sitting on top of the RCMP building. Mr. Trumpior told us that there's going to be a bigger one built. There's no land for that. We're not giving up land for that. So no. Yeah. Also, he's securing the employment for whoever the cultural and environmental monitors are. We don't know who those individuals are. See, so he secured those monitors for the duration of the program. We don't know who they are. Also, he keeps going back. Oh, and the last thing was he wants the information from the trail cams. And to me, that's for self-gain as a coming from a hunting background. My family hunts, my son hunts, people that I know hunt. So that to me is kind of suspicious. To me, looking at all these requests, it's just information. It's just data, information, retain these two people, collect water, air quality, and we want pictures from the trail cams. I want those pictures. So when he states the impacts of these throughout the conversation of this whole AER, he's been mentioning our sand and gravel earlier on, the first, second day. We heard there's only 5 people employed in sand and gravel. Then he mentions the security. I'd say maybe there's about 20 of those. So that's 25. So whoever these 2 other or 3 other, 4 other individuals, the monitors, we don't know who they are. They're secured. And then he's talking about potential training from Bigani Employment Services. Well, that hasn't started, so we're still at ground zero there. We don't know what we're losing there. If we were losing anything, they would have been already going.
For sure.
Also, he's also stating that our sand and gravel. You know, with those two, to me, as a business background, my background is accounting, so hence my fixation to dollar signs. I need dollars before you sign anything. I need to know what's that dollar amount before I sign anything. These things... Our sand and gravel, those 5 people, there's got to be somebody in there to start soliciting, marketing our sand and gravel to surrounding construction companies. Because we have, I know, I've heard it many times before that our sand and gravel, our aggregate, is the best in Southern Alberta. It's pebbled, it's perfect. My walkway's made of it, it's beautiful. But also... within our employment, back to our employment, I think we just need to start being self-sufficient and write those proposals, those business proposals, and getting our people trained that way. Not just looking in our backyard at this company that's going to take down this mountain. There's other places, there's companies. You know, I worked on a project in Fort Mackay when they were building up Fort Mackay. We won an award for that project. So I know this construction, our aggregate gravel can be used someplace else. So the economics is just not fitting for me. In the TRC, there's stuff for treatment centers, elders homes, post-secondary. Why weren't any of those mentioned? Maybe a laundromat. Those are economics and those are standing jobs that'll stay. Because, like I said, the consequences, I suffer the consequences. We all suffer those consequences in the group here. Because there's no economics. And who paid for this travel center? Again, democracy failed us. We voted no because we were afraid of that land parcel affixed to that building. We voted no. But lo and behold, we have a travel center. who failed come and back it up when they was their chance. They were scheduled. They were a scheduled speaker. I was excited to see maybe they'll give us some numbers of any revenue coming in from there. There's no revenue. We haven't done an audit. You go on to, and it's public knowledge. You go onto the INAC site, look for our audit. It's not posted. So we don't know any of the revenue coming in. So when they talk economics, well, let's get to the nitty-gritty of the economics. We can't be depending on people out there to feed, put the money in our hand. Back in the day, they were called Sits Beside the Fort Indians. You know, I've been trying to get in there. I even offered the nation to write business proposals for them. Oh, no, no, no. We already have somebody for that. So I emailed her. She never replied back to me. Anytime somebody does want to do something, we have to get past chief and council to get that approval. I've been trying to paint a wall mural for the last 4 years, maybe even longer. They're making me into a liar by not looking at my requests. I sent the money back because I couldn't hold on to that money anymore. So stuff like that, the economics is just not sitting. I don't fully understand that. Maybe they don't understand economic. Maybe they don't understand how when you have a business, you know, I've been running my own business, small business for the longest 30 years. And they need to start investing in the small business, post-secondary. Let's make a playground for our children. There's only one playground, believe it or not, in our Piikani Nation. One. And the last housing director, May 22nd meeting, like a few years ago, I said, save some land for the children. Save some land for the green. Save some green for our children. Nope. They're just popping up houses, and you'd be surprised at the economic loss we've had within our housing. There's new bills, Jenny. You'd be surprised and just appalled at the new buildings that are sitting in our nation, sitting there, not vacant. Wow. Why? Is because poor decision-making. Poor decision-making and the me concept. Me, 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 me.
Yeah,
that's got to stop. And the economics is just not, these responses. There's no economics in here.
And no.
What was economics? So now we're going to suffer those consequences again if people don't smarten up and start saying no to this and start speaking up. But right now where we're sitting today, I think all our lobbying right now, our rallying, all our words are falling on deaf ears. They're not listening to us. They don't hear us. They're choosing to ignore us. They're choosing to shut their heart off to us. In Native culture, in our natives, all our decisions are based on relationships. You make one or you break one. That's just how it is. And for you to make one that's broken, well, you got to go have that responsibility. Go back and fix that relationship. Because right now there's people that were close friends not talking to each other anymore.
Agreed. Yeah. It's happening everywhere.
And it goes back to poor decision making and not including the whole community. And, you know, we got to step up to the plate.
That's right. I love how you said, Edna, that we have to start putting proposals together. And I think that's a big part of what the work we need to do is to show what can be done differently. Because you're right. What I'm hearing in those economic submissions is watching, waiting, wondering, learning, putting it in a pile and watching the destruction happen. Yeah, monitoring is something that that is spoken about in industry. Monitoring is not mitigating, you know? So I'm going to stop there. Nicole, why don't you go next and then we'll wrap up with Ines.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, that I'm very happy with everybody that's getting the word out and doing a good job informing people, because I'm now starting to see people coming out and asking questions and wondering whether or not, you know, what they should believe or not believe. So I'm glad that I'm starting. It's small, but I'm glad there's people that are starting to see. I just wanted to, I tried to put this in a big picture as fast as I can with how everything is turning out. And, you know, one of the things that was brought to my attention at the AER hearing, this last one here in Calgary, was when they're talking about jobs – it was said here, like the Australian mining corporations, which is including Hancock Prospecting owned by Reinhardt, are the global leaders in anonymous driverless mining equipment. So, and this is something else, a little, even if it's just a sentence that when I talk about researching, people need to read into about, because that's all I'm getting sometimes on my feed is, well, we need jobs. Well, we need the jobs. Well, this is another few words that state they are driverless mining, you know, they have driverless mining equipment. The other thing was when mining for that medular, I can't say that, coal, dangerous lead, aluminum, arsenic, and other materials are exposed and will travel in the runoff down into our rivers and creeks. Northback will also use our fresh water to wash the coal. They will need at least 1,000 liters of water for every 1 ton of coal. This contaminated wash water will be held in huge ponds at locations with hopes that they do not overflow or worse, break and release into our waterways. This operation will require massive amounts of fresh water. So talking about those ponds, the example that I used goes back to what the Navajo people are going through down in the States and Arizona, New Mexico, down there with those coal mining. And one of those tailing ponds or those ponds, it broke. And that water rushed into the community like a river, where now they're relocating those families that were staying in that area into the nearby town because they cannot be in that area with that contaminated water. Our people need to see that big, clear reality picture of what's coming and what's real and the dangers of it, that I feel our chief and council pawned us off. They pawned off our health, our environment, our water, our future generations, our relatives, the animals and stuff. They pawned us off. That's how I take it as looking at the bigger picture of it. And they need to be held accountable for that because yes, they are there. Yes, they are and chose to be in those positions and sit in those seats. And once again, like I keep putting it out there, we cannot mix politics and personal. So when they're being held accountable and we're calling out for transparency, that's all it is. It's not being personal. This woman, Gina Reinhardt, is a very, very racist woman. That's the other thing I just can't wrap my head around with our chief and council working and allowing this woman to be here. And then they talk, when we at the AER hearing, when they talk of the description of the application, I spoke with the COO there at the hearing up here in Calgary, and I asked him if he could be more specific and more clear with the members when they talk about this application. And again, he just stood there and told me, we're just for the deep drill permit. That's all they were going for or supporting. And I told him, I don't think so. I think these three kind of go together under that one application. So when he said that to me, I was like, wait a minute. Not to be mean, but do you even understand what I'm trying to tell you? Like, do you not understand? And I'm showing him the paper. And he said, no, we're just support. And I said, no, they go together. So stop telling the people that this is a separate, it's not. These three are under that umbrella of that application. So I asked him to be more clear, precise with the people that what, if he knew about the history of that mountain, if he understood that there was something that was very precious to one of our elders that was buried up there, and that was many, many years ago that it was buried up there. He had no idea. He had no clue as to just that one story. And so I said, you guys really need to start doing your own research. You really need to start looking at our history and what happened in that area. Why we are standing up for it and fighting for it today. And it's not just that we're fighting for everything. So both our three of us, Inez, Edna, myself, and the many others that stand with us, we're not only fighting the Alberta government or this Danielle Smith and Conservatives, we're fighting our own chief and council. So we have two avenues that we got to go down and try, you know, open those floodgates of please listen and understand what you're doing is wrong. So that it's a real, it, like Edna said, it's hard, it's frustrating, difficult. We, you know, we lose sleep over it. I did not like seeing at one of our events where an elderly lady literally sat at the table and was crying and said, you know, I'm not sleeping at night anymore because I don't know what's coming. That hit me. It hit me really hard that day because what do they not see? And what are they doing? So when they talk about Northbac not giving us any kind of money, well, again, people are being, you know, that's misinformation. They're not being realistic with the people, leaving people to, you know, out in the cold again. They don't know what's going on. More questions that need to be answered. This is, none of it makes sense to me.
No, it truly doesn't. And everything you've said, I echo. I've lost sleep over this. The thought, there's nothing good about it, you know? So I think I want to say something that Hugh offered when we were, that's your husband, right, Nicole? Is that his name? Yeah. When we were down in Pincher Creek at one of the rallies. So I just want to say, like, Nicole, and I'm sorry, Edna and Inez, if I'm not clear of your participation, but Nicole has helped organize three events that were very well attended, mix of people from across, you know, different cultures and communities, let's say, and excellent feeling of coming together in these issues. And I just wanted to highlight, Hugh had said, we can't look at this as just a one-off thing. This has to be us glued together now, appreciating that we're in this together and that we have to work together. So the things that I want to make sure that I'm articulating for you guys and for anybody who listens to this or follows this in a future recording is, so we've got, like I said, this alliance going. I hear and I want to make sure that you guys understand we can work together in terms of, you know, having funding to help people be understood by, like, you know, giving out information to the community, yeah. Let's say. We can pool our efforts in that way. So I've heard that the Alberta Resistance is hoping to do some interviews with Lauren Fitch and others. So I think there's another opportunity there for you guys so that we can make sure that, like you said, these key things that were said in these hearings. I love that you're looking at the notes, Nicole. I'm also planning on putting out an article around what was said in those hearings, because to me, it covered off so much. And to your point, Nicole, we can actually point to something that's out there for everybody to look at and know that these are the statements that were made by the companies, by our government, by our regulator. You know, I really liked hearing what happens if you don't proceed with this project. I guess I'm leaving. Good. You know, this is time for these big companies to step back and help us restore our ecosystems. Because at the end of the day, if we want to have water, we need to be focused on restoring our eastern slopes and all the headwater areas for that matter. So yes, that's my commitment. I'm really excited for us to be working together and making sure that we're helping this education go out across your communities and my communities and hopefully our broader community in general get stronger and stronger through this.
Yeah, for sure.
Inez, I want to make sure you get a chance to say something. Sorry, Edna, go ahead if you have something quick to say. Okay, go ahead, Inez. Thank you.
I'm just really appreciative of this YouTube and for you, Jenny, allowing us to have this platform for today, because we really need to reach our 4,000 members of Piikani Nation, and they're all throughout Canada, United States, and we needed some kind of big platform to reach all our cousins and relatives out there. And so I thank you for this, and I'm hoping that when people do view this YouTube channel, that they reach out to us for the information. And if they just want to chat about it and ask questions, reach out to us. We're open. We want to chat. We want to connect. And this fight is really bringing everyone together. And that's the only thing that's good is that's coming out of this right now.
Well said. So Mountain Child Valley Society has a Facebook page for people to join, right? There is a email that people can use too, right? mcvspiikani So that's PIIKANI@gmail.com.
Yep.
Is your email for anybody? Yes, I will make sure you guys know when this is final so that we can get it out to your communities. I'll do some editing for us before I publish it officially. But yeah, I really appreciate your time. Any closing thoughts from anyone before we wrap?
I just wanted to say, in further into the fights, what the member, the entities that Nicole mentioned, like I said before, our fights are following a deaf ears in our own hometown. Mm-hmm. I think right now, where is the First Nation, like we are, our directions in life for the non-native and the native are, we have different, we have an Indian Act we have to break down. Mm-hmm. I think we got through to the chief and council. So now's our next step. We have to start taking our fight to the big house, to the feds, you know.
That's for us too. These are federal issues for everyone. Yes, yes, please continue.
Yes, sorry. But time and, you know, more so for us, because that's where our everything is housed for us. Everything is housed. We can't even start a business without their okay. We can't do nothing without their okay, you know. So if we start to keep on the momentum going by this, and I'm so thankful for you for inviting us, keep the momentum going, start the campaign letter writing, and now we take it up with the INEC, with Melanie Joy. You know, she needs to be the one, the foreign minister, because she needs to know that she's letting in a foreign entity to come and encroach on Blackfoot traditional territory. That's just a must. Right now it's a must. And speaking on the history, I just wanted to point out, we're not here to offend anybody. You know, we're not here to offend anybody. We're here to educate people. We're here to look at the history and to see how those mistakes we can correct those mistakes, you know. Back then, we didn't have the negotiating skills. Even today, they're kind of lagging maybe because, you know, who's negotiating for us? Who's speaking for us? You know, we're fighting for the unborn children, but we just got to keep that line of communications open with all our people. And this is a great way of getting our message out there. Like Inez said and Nicole saying, we need to reach more people. We need to reach more people and keep this going and keep the information flowing. Mm-hmm. Doing Wonderful. Research and, you know, and one thing I always say when I did facilitator training is if you don't ask questions, you starve. You know, if you're sitting in the back room and wondering, like, ask this question for me, you know, you're not going to get the food, you know, where's the kitchen? So you need to ask questions and learn. There's no such thing as a dumb question. You know, we'll answer as best to our ability as to what we know and the knowledge. And this is all our knowledge we learned on our own. We did the research. We were there. We heard. We listened. We paid attention. So now it's just trying to get people to stop the mountain as a whole group. And, you know, let's working together, this collaboration. The collaboration is just wonderful. Working with everybody, I met so many people in the two walks that I attended, and it was just amazing. It was amazing, and I really thank you, Nicole, for doing that. It was, you know, we had fun, we met people, but all the while making sure why we're there and yelling and you know, stop coal, save our mountain, stop with all those messages. And it just kind of made me feel like, okay, well, the little girl in me came out where I could be real loud and just yell and scream and stop it, you know, stuff like that. You're able to have the humor in it too, but not to forget those consequences that are coming if it does, you know. So that's all I wanted to say. And yeah, thank you. And get the letter writing. And our number one point today was just to get the information out and not to offend anybody.
I feel the same way. I was nervous that I wanted this to go well. Nicole, I'll let you offer some closing thoughts.
Just to close off, I just want to say that, you know, my grandfather, who's Joe Crowshoe, was working on diversity before he passed on. And before he left, I whispered in his ear and I told him, I'm going to continue on your work And I didn't realize back then how hard it would be. But I'm going to say it's not an easy job. But I have, you know, my grandfather behind me, my grandmother, and how when we have these events and stuff, you know, I know and we all know that our ancestors are always with us, yes. Especially as the Biop creator. He's always with us. When I first started speaking, I was a very shy person. But as I got through it, how I got through it was through Creator. So there was a second time I had to public speak and I didn't know what to say. I froze. So I said a little prayer inside and I asked Creator, well, you can speak through me and let the people hear what you want them to hear. I went through that whole speech without knowing what I was saying, but these words just kept coming out of my mouth. And at the end, everybody was so happy, you know, thanking me for what I had said. So I now do the same. Every time I go out, I pray before we do our gatherings and stuff. And I always ask and say, you know, to Istabat to be up, I open myself to you as a vessel. Do your work through me. Because most of the time, like towards the end there in Lethbridge, I was getting tired. Because we were on the go almost every day. I'd get up at 4:35 and I'm not back home till 1:32. So it was a really tiresome job. But again, I'm so happy I did that. And that's just my drive. My drive is for justice for Indigenous. I speak out for the injustices I see the people going through. And I do my best to get to that main source to stop it. Which is what we all are striving here now to do. Like Edna said, we got to the chief and council to have them hear us out. And now, you know, now we're going the other way to the federal government and they're going to hear what is all the work we're doing and we're pushing forth to them. So
wonderful. However I can support you in that, I am very much happy to. Thank you very much. And I wanted to say what I forgot. Was thank you for all the years that you've been doing research and watching this and making sure that you're standing up for Mother Nature and all of its inhabitants. Thank you so much for your time, ladies. I'm sure we'll do this again. Thank you. Have an excellent rest of your day. Okay. Take care for
now. Thank you. We'll see you, Nicole. Thanks, you, Jenny.
Bye. Thank you so much.